The book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 4 this morning, Ephesians chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 17. I'll read verse number 17 out loud, then you'll join me on verse number 18, we'll read down to verse number 25. Ephesians chapter number 4 this morning, Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 17. Bible says in Ephesians 4:17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." And let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the truth that we find in its pages. Lord, this morning we're not here because we desire to hear an opinion. We're not here because we seek to show ourselves better to our fellow man. But we're here this morning standing before you, humbly desiring that as the Word of God is preached and taught this morning, that we'll take close consideration of the words that are spoken, the words that are read from God's Word, and not only apply them to our mind, but allow them to affect our heart. Lord, this morning we seek to not walk out the same as we walked in, but would you speak to us through the preaching of God's word? We'll humble ourselves and yield ourselves to you now as we best know how. Fill our pastor now with the Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. We'll ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bible open, and I want to help you today. If you'll bear with me, I have a truth today that I really believe will be a blessing to you. I read the Bible a lot. I probably need it more than most people. No comments, please. But I read the Bible a lot. I probably average somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.5 to 3 times a year that I read all the way through the Bible. That's just my reading of it. That's not study. That's not time put into sermons. That's just my time reading it, getting what I need. But there are times as I read the Bible that it just seems like things jump off the page at me. I'll be reading often in my office, and I've got a stack of paper there, and God will give me a thought, and I'm writing in my Bible, and then I'll grab a piece of paper and I'll start writing things down. And it's just like somebody that's panning for gold and they get a scoop full of dirt and they're all of a sudden they start seeing gold in there and they start getting excited. That's kind of how I am as I read the Bible. And it seems like every scoop I get at least 1 or 2 nuggets. Amen. And it's just rich. And it just sometimes those thoughts turn into sermons, and that's the case today. God tells us here in Ephesians 4 that he does not want us to walk through life like the world. Look at verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Now look at me. Did you realize that God wants you to be different than the world? Amen. By the way, who wants to be like the world? Man, they don't know who they are, what they are, if they are, and where they are. They don't know if they're a man or a woman. By the way, that it didn't take me long to figure that out. When I was born, they didn't have birth certificates that said to be determined later. It's decided. Amen. Now, God tells us, though, that he does not want us to walk through life with the vanity of the world and the lying of the world. Now, listen to this statement. God knows that we who are saved should not go through life like the world. God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to be different than the world.
Yes, sir.
From time to time, somebody will try to criticize me. They'll say, well, preacher, you're just so old-fashioned. And my statement is, thank you very much. I had a lady about 6, 7 years ago. My wife and I were in their home, and it was a very large, beautiful, wealthy couple. I mean, they had a formal living room next to a formal dining room, and they had more money in their formal living room than I have in my house, probably. And it's fine. And she said, well, you're just a little old-fashioned. I said, thank you, ma'am. She said, I didn't mean it as a compliment. I said, too late. I took it that way anyway. And she wasn't real happy with me because when I preached, I raised my voice. We didn't have stained glass windows and everything. I said, well, the only reason churches have stained glass windows is because they don't have a man of God that knows how to get the power of God in. Boy, that didn't go over real well at all. I said, well, it just didn't feel like a church. I said, well, sign said church. I said, sorry. And we decided to part ways somewhat friendly. Now, God does not want us going through life like the world. We're not to stumble around like a blind person in life like the lost people do. I hate to tell you, you didn't come from a monkey. Man didn't decide one day he was tired of eating raw meat and rub two sticks together or bang two stones together and got fire. God taught man how to make fire. There's no such thing as Stone Age, just so you know. God created man on the face of the earth with everything prepared for him. It didn't evolve. You say, well, I just don't think we should eat meat. Okay, but God didn't put the plants on the ark. He put the animals on the ark. Just so you know. Anyway, that was free. You don't have to pay for that one. Now, let me say this. God not only doesn't want you stumbling through life like the world, he wants you to have a better life. God commands us to live better than the world. I'm going to make a statement here. He didn't mean that necessarily financially. But he wants us to live a better life than those that live in a lost, bumbling, stumbling, crazy, dark, nasty, evil world. I don't know about you, but when I woke up this morning and realized it was Sunday, I was excited. I was happy. 4 o'clock when I jumped out of bed this morning, when I got out of bed this morning, I knew it was Sunday and I was excited. See, being saved means we should live a better life than the world. I didn't get up this morning and have to stick my head in a commode and throw up because of what I drank last night. I didn't have to have a headache and wonder what I did last night because I don't remember. Now, some of you don't remember what you had for breakfast, but that's called Alzheimer's disease. But anyway, I got that half-timer's disease half the time it works. Amen? May I reiterate something, brother? And I had this sermon done 2 weeks ago, but Brother Arcola said something Friday night, and I thought, you bum, you stole something I was going to say Sunday. I've learned that God never commands us to do something that he does not make sure we have the wherewithal to obey first. You know, God never gives you a command that you don't have the ability to obey. God never gives a command that you don't first have the ability to obey. So if God commands you to do something, there is a way for you to do that. Yes, it's real simple. Thou shalt not kill. That means you have the ability not to lose your temper and kill somebody. Now, I wasn't talking about animals, all right? But thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. You say, well, preacher, I have troubles lying. How do I fix it? Are you ready for a real deep truth? Tell the truth. Everybody has the ability to tell the truth. We choose to lie. It's not something that just happens. Now, God does not give us a command without giving us the ability to obey that command. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. That means this. He always makes it possible for us to obey his commands. But we have to obey them. It's our choice. We decide whether or not we will obey. So, if God says that we can live better than the lost world, guess what? He's given us the ability to live better than the lost world.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If God says, I want more for you than the lost world, then God gives us the ability to have more than what the lost world has in this life. But it's going to be up to me whether I obey that or not. I'm not saying this weirdo religion that's out there, prosperity gospel. Well, you give a little to God and God's going to give you far back and you're going to be rich and wealthy. Tell that to Jesus. They killed him and put him on a tree. Brother Jim and I were talking and we were talking about, I put quite a few hours in this week. He said, do you get paid by the hour? I said, no, but my retirement benefits are out of this world. it doesn't matter what I get paid. That's not the issue. The issue is I'm supposed to put the hours in. Now, I did not say that obeying God would always be easy. Sometimes it's hard to obey God. May I be very honest with you? I don't always want to be patient with people. I know that that's a surprise to you. I wish you knew how many times I stand here and preach on Sunday and somebody calls me throughout the week and says, preacher, how do I fix this? And I want to say, well, if you were in church Sunday and listened to what I said, you'd know what to do. Or if you just do what I said Sunday, you wouldn't be in the shape you're in. But I don't say those things. I don't want to be patient. I have to choose to be patient. There's times I want to look at people, and I'm not going to look at you, but there's times I want to look at somebody and say, you stupid idiot. But I only say that to me, nobody else. You say, why? Because that's not what I should tell you. My flesh wants to say things, but that's not what I always say. You see, God commanded me how I'm supposed to be. Therefore, I must choose to obey what he said I should be. God didn't say it would always be easy. God compares people to sheep. He compares the pastor to a shepherd. Do you know what a shepherd's got to do? He's got to feed sheep, and then he's got to clean up all the exhaust. You'll figure that one out by slow freight. Amen? But because we're sinners, sometimes God's commands go against our flesh. It goes against our will, our desires. But may I say this, God gave you the ability to obey it whether you want to or not. I've used this illustration hundreds of times. My dad, when I was growing up, it's Wednesday, take out the trash. I didn't say, Dad, I'll do it when I have a desire to do it. he would just simply look at you and say, I'll put the desire in you. You either do it with a whipping or without the whipping. You choose with or without the whipping. Suddenly, I had a desire to take the trash out. It wasn't a pleasant desire, but it was a desire because I desired not to get a whooping. So, well, I just don't believe in that. Well, the trash got taken out. Everybody doing all right? All right. So we must supply the action. God didn't say you would always desire the right action, but we still must supply the right action. And God tells us very, very plainly and very clearly how we can live better than the lost world. I love when God's outlines are in his words, and I'm going to simply lift the outline out of scripture today. You'll see it in just a moment. So, first of all, in verse number 22, God tells us that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. God says, first of all, I want you to put off the old man. Now, ladies, that's not your husband. And I'll show you in a minute, but the outline is very simple today. God tells us to put off the old man, put on the new man, and put away certain things. That's the outline today. Now, look at me and let me help you. God tells us to put off the old man. Say, what is the old man? That's the lost man. That's the person before you got saved. Romans chapter 6. Turn to Romans chapter 6 very quickly. And I'll show you that God uses this term more than once in scripture. Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So God says that we are to put off the old man, and that old man is the man before we got saved. Some of you did not get saved as a child. I did. But guess what? I still had a sinful nature. Yes, you do. Let me rephrase that. I still have it. Yes, you do. But it's not as big as Paulus. In more than one way. Anyway, now, God says put off the old man. In other words, Romans 6 says we're to crucify the old man. Put to death. We're supposed to put down the old man. We're to put it off. If I were to put off my coat, that means I take it off and put it somewhere else. I leave it behind. God says, I want you to take off that old man, that life before you got saved. Some of you had some language to put off once you got saved. Yeah, you know, we both talk about God, but before you got saved, you didn't use it in the same sense. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? There were some activities that you participated in before you got saved that you should not participate in as a saved person. And God says, I want you to put off the old man. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. We were in Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's only about 10 pages or so later. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, but now ye also put off all these. Notice what God says, put off. Like put off the old man, right? Put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now look at me. God says that that old man is this list of things that God lists here. Anger. Now that word anger doesn't mean just your temper. This one's going to hurt. Let me start by saying this. I love you. That word anger means annoyance, displeasure, disagreement. God says we're to put off the things that annoy us. Not the people, not your mother-in-law. It's amazing how many people wait to correct their children until they annoy them enough. We're to correct people because they've crossed a line of right and wrong, not because it embarrasses us or annoys us. There were times I would correct my children, not because I wanted to, but because they needed me to, and they needed it right away. It's not, well, I'll give you one more chance, and one more chance, and one more. No, there were no more chances. When you cross the line, you cross the line, you pay the price. It's amazing how much in Christianity we have certain sins that annoy us, and we think they're worse than any other sin. Everybody doing all right? Can I tell you something? Lying and pride are as bad as murder and adultery. Did you know in Revelation chapter 21, God puts lying in the same list that he puts witchcraft and murder? In other words, lying is just as bad. Every once in a while I'll meet a preacher or hear of a church that they believe that if one of the church people does wrong, they're supposed to stand them up in front of the whole church and tell everybody all the bad that they've done. That's out of the pit of hell. First of all, you can't forgive their sin, only God can. Second of all, before you could forgive them, you got to get all your sins told in front of everybody else. How about we wait till we tell everybody else your sins before you decide whether you can forgive somebody else's? How about we stand the Pope up and tell everybody all the wrong he's done and see how much sin he can forgive for you? Everybody doing all right? Say, preacher, I don't think you ought to name names. Well, I didn't name his name, just his title. I'm not even sure I could tell you what his name is. Anger, that's annoyance. Displeasure, disagreement. It amazes me how that in America we think our opinion really matters. I wonder, and don't raise your hand and don't confess your fault to me, but I wonder how many of you read all the comments on something, whether it be something you're going to buy or something that you already did buy and wish you didn't buy it or whatever, and you got to put your comment down. You know, I never read any of that garbage. Well, this one has 237 reviews, preacher. So? That means there's 236 other people that are dumb enough to take their time to put a comment there. And you took time to read it. Somebody else's opinion doesn't matter to me. Everybody doing all right? Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean everybody's got to hear it. My mama's in heaven. She don't get mad at me now. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. Just because it's your opinion doesn't mean you're right. Everybody doing all right? I got a coon in the tree. I'm going to keep you up there a little while and bark a little longer, amen? Just because you disagree with something doesn't mean it's wrong. Do you know I could go home any number of about a half a dozen ways? Just because I don't go the way you want doesn't mean that I'm wrong and you're right. Everybody doing all right? Okay, so we have a disagreement there. Okay, disagreement. God says, put that off. We're not supposed to express our disagreement every time we disagree with something. If I told my wife every time I disagree with something she has done, She would never have done anything right, possibly. You say, why? Because I don't understand all she does. Everybody doing okay? I don't express a lot of disagreement with my wife. I don't go home and say, why'd you do that? I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, next time you do it, because it ain't getting done then until you do it. Shut your mouth and let her do it. Just because she didn't do it your way doesn't mean it didn't get done. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Coon's in the tree. Time to pull the gun out. Just because you disagree with something doesn't mean you're right. Who made you God? Now, you might sit with your fat belly and your t-shirt hanging over it like Buddha, but that doesn't mean that you're a God. Bless God, I'm the man. Well, for you to have to say that means you're not. God says, put away anger. It's amazing how many things people argue about because they disagree on something. You know, I decided a long time ago I wasn't going to fight with my wife, and I don't. 33 and a half years, we've never fought. Have we disagreed? Daily. I believe in getting up real early. She wouldn't agree with that. Now, she still gets up earlier than most folk. Now, my early and her early are totally different. Early to me is anything before 4:30. That's just life. Now, wait a minute. Anything early, you know, she's usually up 6:15. And that's early to most folks. Now, to me, I can't tell you the last time I've been in bed at that hour. I mean, years, possibly decades. Do I disagree with her? No, because that's what she needs. This is what I need. Everybody doing all right? Now, hang on there. I shouldn't get mad at her. Wrath. Now, what you thought anger is, that's what wrath is. The word wrath means hot, heated, or extreme anger. That means when your collar turns red, you've got steam blowing out your ears, and you're yelling at the top of your lungs because of your displeasure or your disagreement with somebody. May I say something? You don't have to raise your voice to disagree with somebody. Just because you can do it louder than somebody else doesn't mean you're right. Malice, number three. God tells us to put off anger, tells us to put off wrath. Then he says malice. Malice is purposely doing harm to somebody else. That means you try to hurt somebody. Malice is, okay, I got some teenagers in here. Malice is when you try to hurt your brother or your sister, whether you're a kid or an adult. Malice is, well, I'm going to get back at them and I'm going to do this. That's preconceived. That means I am purposely trying to hurt someone. I may hurt you, but I'm not purposely trying to hurt you. I can promise you that. And when I do hurt someone, I'll try to make it right. Now, that's if my disposition hurts you. If the fact that I'm preaching truth and truth hurts you, tough toenails. I'm sorry. Too bad for you. I'm not changing the word of God for anybody. Blasphemy, that means bad doctrine. God says put off bad doctrine. Don't read bad doctrine. Don't listen to people who teach or preach bad doctrine. Say, what's bad doctrine? Somebody doesn't believe that you're a sinner on your way to hell, that Jesus came and paid the sin debt for you, and all you have to do is trust him as your Savior to get you to heaven, not by traditions, not by works of man's righteousness, but by his mercy, he saves us. Hey, that God, anybody that preaches any other doctrine, God said let him be accursed. I'm not afraid to name names. Everybody doing okay? Say why? Because somebody tells you that the blood of Jesus isn't necessary for salvation. It's only his death is a heretic and it's bad doctrine. So I don't read their doctrine. I don't listen to their sermons. Just because they're on Christian radio doesn't mean they're right. Moving on. Number five, filthy communication. God says put off filthy communication coming out of your mouth. That means some of the jokes people tell. That means some of the TV that you talk about. That means, the word means cursing, crude, inappropriate, or disrespectful. I know Christians who have filthy communication because they can't talk good about their boss or their coworkers. Please don't get mad at me for this statement. If it bothers you that bad, find another job. Don't sit there and be disrespectful and have filthy communication because you can't talk good about your boss. Don't be disloyal to your boss, to me. Well, my boss didn't even save. God didn't say be loyal to save boss only. He said, don't let filthy communication come out of your mouth. Next, lying. That means be truthful. May I say something? You've heard me say it many times. The easiest person in the world to lie to is the person you look at in the mirror. It is amazing how easy you can lie to yourself. That's why you do some of the wrong things you do. And if you compare it with Scripture, well, that's not how I see it. I don't see it that way, preacher. Don't care. That's what God said. You take it up with him, not with me. I'm just the delivery fella. I'm just the one telling you what God said. You take it up with him on the specifics. So God says, put off anger, put off wrath, put off malice, put off blasphemy, put off filthy communication, put off lying. By the way, filthy communication could be the music you listen to. Amazing how filthy country music is. Ouch. Sleeping with somebody else's wife, stealing this. Disrespect at work, on and on and on and on it goes. God knows rock music and rap music is filthier than all get out. Oh, that's art. Pornography is not art. Moving on. God does not want us living like the lost world. And he says, I want you to put off the old man. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5:17 is all about? Let me read it to you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The term pass away. My brother-in-law is near death. When he dies, they'll say he passed away. Away on this date. He died. God says when you get saved, the old man is to die and we're to put on the new man. We're not to have the desires of the lost world. We're to put on a new man with new desires. So, first of all, God says we're to put off the old man. That means once we get saved, we all dress differently. We ought to talk differently. We ought to have different attitude. We ought to have different behavior. We ought to have different entertainment. And what we put in our body ought to be different. How we treat our body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So how we treat it, how we dress it, how we take care of it, what we put into it, what we feed it, ought to be different than what the world does. Boy, that's good stuff. So, first of all, to be what God says we should be, to be different from the world, we're to put off the old man. Watch this. Secondly, look at verse number 24, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And that you put on the new man. Hot diggity dog. Put on the new man. God says, once you get saved, not only should you put off the old man, but you ought to put on the new man. That's what Colossians 3 verses 10 through 17 are all about. We read where God said, lie not one to another, that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to them which also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wow. How do we put off the old man? You crucify him when you get saved. Then God says, don't just put off the old man, put on the new man. It's one thing to put the old man off, but if you don't put anything on, guess what you're going to go back to? The old. He said, I want you to put off the old and put on the new. Holiness. That means to be more like God. It doesn't mean that you are God. It means you're to be more like he is. He says, bowels of mercy. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy doesn't mean no punishment. It means punishing with love. It's the application of punishment. There's times I have to correct somebody, but I'll do it very cautiously. I'll do it tenderly. Now, as my kids were growing up, they wouldn't tell you that it was always tender. But you got to whip a mule harder than you do a puppy, amen? Just because they were two didn't mean they understood what they understood at 15. The older they got, the harsher the punishment, because they should have learned it before or obeyed it before. Kindness. Let me ask you a question. Are you known as a kind person? I'm not talking about just the people within the four walls of your house. I'm talking about everybody. It's amazing to me how we can be kind to strangers, but the people with whom we live and with whom we love most, we're the most ungrateful, unkind towards. I hate to tell you, I'm not going to treat somebody else's wife more kindly than I treat my wife. Everybody doing okay? I'm not going to treat somebody else's family with more kindness than I treat my family. I plan on being kind to everybody. Isn't that the way God said it's supposed to be? Humbleness of mind. Did you know you are not God? I'm sorry. Didn't mean to hurt you. Did you know you're not the source of all knowledge? So, well, I'm an expert. I'm a big shot. You know what a big shot is? That's a little shot that keeps shooting. That's all it is. We're not comparing boo-boos here. It's not a matter of how big you think you are. Guess what? You die, the world's going to keep on going. If I die, the world's going to keep on going. God says meekness. The word meekness means strength under control. We would use the word homogenized. Homogenized milk is milk that has cream in it, but it doesn't separate. It's been altered to where it's all the way through it, and it's not going to break apart. That's what God says meekness is. Long-suffering, that means suffering long. It amazes me how many Christians think God hates them if they suffer. God says we're supposed to suffer long. If you're married, you have a lifelong sentence. I mean, a lifelong of suffering. I love it. Forbearing one another. That means this, self-control. That means you keep your action under control. Forbear means this. Before the action, you know what your action is. You don't live by a knee-jerk reaction. Well, somebody just said something that just set me off. Well, that means you didn't use forbearance. Well, that was just my natural reaction. Yeah, that's the old man, not the new man. I have to guard my actions. There are times I put something on hold a while because if I do what I'm thinking at the moment, it's not going to be good. I've already instructed my wife and my family, if I ever lose my mind, they need to wire my mouth shut because I'll probably say things. There's things up here nobody else should know. Yeah. If I lose it, there's going to be things said that should not be said because I know too much about too many people. And I've told her, if it ever comes to that, have them wire my mouth shut. Give me enough drugs to keep me unconscious or something. I don't need to be saying some things. Forgiveness. You know, God says we're supposed to forgive one another. By the way, forgiveness is not for the one who did wrong. Forgiveness is the one against whom wrong was done. I counseled somebody this week and they said, well, this person and this institution, they hurt me. I said, well, forgive them. Well, they've not asked. I said, God didn't say wait for someone to ask you for forgiveness. Forgiveness means you had it before the action was done against you. I said, that's why you're bitter. That's why you're hurting. You're hurting and you're angry and you're moping around and discouraged because you're waiting for somebody else to ask you to forgive them. And the very nature of the word forgiveness means give before the offense. Forgive. Give before. I've decided if you hurt me that I am not going to stay hurt, that I have forgiven you before you've ever done anything wrong. But God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad God forgave you before you did wrong? Then how about we live a little bit more like God? Charity. The Bible is to dwell in us. And we're to dwell in the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Can I tell you what that word dwell means? Live. You're going to go back to your home today and that's your dwelling. That's where you live. God says we're to live and in the words of Christ. In the word of God. Matter of fact, he even says we're supposed to have the right music. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let me ask you a question. The music you play, does it teach the words of God? If it isn't, then it's not what God wants for you. We're to put off the old man, put on the new man. Number next. We're to do all things as unto God, not unto man. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, they had a little doojigger going on with a bunch of charismaniacs. What would Jesus do? Well, that sounds all well and good till you go to preach your first funeral. Look up every funeral Jesus went to. The guy got up and walked away. That ain't fun. I can't do that. But I can tell you this, what does the Bible say I should do? Let the word of Christ, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, before you open your mouth, what does the Bible say you should say? Before you react, what does the Bible say you should do? By the way, that's what God says about Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Notice the term, put on. We're to put on these seven, eight different things here in Colossians 3. And then in Ephesians 6, we're supposed to put on the armor of God. Now, everybody look at me. Putting on armor is not so that you look good. Putting on armor is so you can go to war and fight. Brother Barnes and I made a visit yesterday, and we got to talking with somebody, and I mentioned my love for World War II history, especially General Patton, and he said, I got something you would enjoy. About 3 or 4 minutes later, he came back. He laid out this uniform from World War II that was his grandfather's. His grandfather fought in the 7th Army with Patton, fighting across North Africa, Sicily, and Italy. I said, oh yeah, that patch means this, and that was that. And, wow, that's a piece of history right there. I said, yeah, North Africa is where Patton stood in the tank turret and said, Rommel, get back here. I want to fight you. I've read your book. I said, man, my brain started going. Brrr. There was a uniform actually worn by his grandfather in World War II. Man, that was a piece of living history right there. Let me make this statement, and then I'll quickly finish. Just putting off the old man will not do. You will get beaten up by the devil. You have to put on the new. Just putting off the old man will not do. You must put on the new man. Preacher, I got a sinful habit. How do I quit smoking? You replace it with a good habit. Instead of smoking, open up your Bible and read scripture for a while. If you'll read 5 chapters in the Bible before you light up a cigarette, you're less apt to light up a cigarette. Bow your head and ask God to bless your cigarette. Before you take a dip or a chew, before you do that, read your Bible. Do something spiritual and ask God to bless it. Before you drink alcohol, bow your head and ask God to bless it for the nourishment of your body once. I'll guarantee the desire for doing wrong things will go away quickly. So God says, put off the old man, put on the new man. And lastly, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, putting away. Look at it with me, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then he goes through verse 32, and it talks about all the things we're to put away, which are virtually everything from the old man. He didn't just say put it off and put on. He then says put away the old things. It's one thing to take your coat off. It's another thing to put it away. Now every man knows wherever you take your coat off, that's where you put it away. Amen. Whether it be the doorknob, the banister post, wherever it's at, I put it away, put it right there. No, when you go to the closet and hang it back up and close the closet door, then you put it away. God says, don't just take it off and put on something else, put it away. Hang on. Ladies, that's like, you took off the dirty clothes, all the people in your house took them off, and you put on clean clothes, and you washed the dirty laundry, now it's clean, but it's amazing how much clean laundry never gets put away. You know, you got to dig through it and find socks, and you got to, you know, find this, find that. You say, why? Because I didn't put it away. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I just hit the coon back in the tree. Going to be some empty laundry baskets this afternoon. Now, wait a minute. Just because you took the old off and put on the new doesn't mean you put away what was supposed to be put away. God didn't say just put off and put on. He says, take off the old, put on the new, and take what was old and put it away to where you don't go get it again. You see, putting off the old man is not enough. Putting on the new man is not enough. God wants us to put away the things of the old man. Here we go. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look towards the end of the chapter. Again, I love you, but this one's going to hurt. Look at verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Wow. God said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And it amazes me how many adults act childish.
Come on now, preacher.
Case in point. It's amazing how we want to understand like a child before we do something. Why? 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 Because I said so. Just do it. In the doing of it, you might understand why. I didn't understand why I had to be the one to take the trash out. But I remember hearing my dad say, one day you'll thank me for it. Say, when was that day when I had to make sure I got the trash out on my own? After I became a man, had my own house, and had to pay my own trash bill? Everybody doing all right? I wanted to understand like a child. God says, you don't have to worry about understanding. Just obey, and the understanding will come. Well, preacher, why do I have to? Why do I? Quit saying why. Just quit being like a child. God's wanting his people to grow up. We're not supposed to talk like it. Well, I'll love you if you love me. We've got too many marriages that are based on childish love. Well, I did this. Don't you want to recognize me for what I did? No, you're supposed to do it. If you did it to get recognized, you did it like a child. Look, mommy, look at the picture I colored. You're putting it on the refrigerator, right? Yeah, you did it so somebody else could see what you did. How about you do it not caring if anybody else sees? Boy, that's good stuff. God says we want everybody else to see what we do so that we can pat you on his head and say, good boy, Junior. Since when do you have to have God pat you on the head to do right? I can't wait to get to heaven and watch people who will step far ahead of me because of their Christian life. They did things behind the scenes, not wanting anybody to know. They just did it. Faithful. Faithful servants of God. I get a lot of credit for our church and the building and different things. Bobby's not here this morning, but a man like Bobby Kellerman, he's a bit rough. Just a wee bit. He even looks a little rough sometimes. Do you know you wouldn't be sitting on this property in this building if it wasn't for Bobby Kellerman? Now, Bob's still got a little of the old man in him. And if I ever need somebody to say some words I'm not allowed to say, I call Bob. He'll tell him exactly. Since Jimbo went to heaven, I got to have Bob, amen? But a little rough around the collar, but can I tell you something? It's because of Bob that we got our bank loan. It's because of Bob that we found the builder to build this building. Before you criticize, before you judge, maybe you ought to be thankful for what he might step ahead of us. Oh, he might not have a lot of money to give, but he sure had a lot of influence. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. Quit trying to understand and be God. Quit trying to be a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. A child doesn't want to give. They want given to. Give me, give me, give me. Mine, 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 mine. I wonder how many Christians act like a baby. I remember when I was in Bible college. About my sophomore year, I went home for, or my dad was up, and my dad and mom, or I was back for Christmas or something. I was about 19. I said, "Dad, how do you know when it's the right time to get married?" Maybe one of the wisest things my father ever said to me in my entire life. He said, "Son, when you can provide for somebody else what's been given to you your whole life, you're ready." Mm-hmm. Deep thought. I remember I was dating a young lady just a couple times. I called home, my weekly call. That's before cell phones. That's when you had about a 27-digit number for a calling card that gave you a few cents off every minute. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to punch all these numbers in the phone. And you get to the last two and you hit the wrong one. You got to hang up and start all over again. Oh, yeah. You young people don't know nothing. That was after there was such a thing called collect calls. Yes, I remember those. "Will you accept the charges?" And the worst thing in the world for a college student to hear, "No." But, okay. I remember calling home and I said, "Dad, I think I may have found the right kind of young lady to date." He said, "You think so?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Dump her." I said, "You never have met her yet." He said, "Doesn't matter." He said, "If you have to tell me you think it is, it's not the right one. Don't worry." I did. When I met my wife, I said, "Dad, I found the right one. I need you to come here and meet her." He said, "All right, we'll be there." Oh, by the way, the one I thought, boy, am I glad I didn't marry that one. My daddy was right. She was whiter than this pulpit. She'd been married and divorced 3 times. I said, "Whew. Man, thank God I listened to my daddy." Now, wait a minute. You say, "Preacher, I'm just telling you the truth. I didn't date that girl one more time after my dad said, don't do it." You say, "Your dad was picking your wife?" No, but when I could tell him I found the right one, then it was time. It wasn't a think-so thing. It was an I know-so thing. They came up to the college. They spent a couple days with what would become my wife. And my dad looked at me at the end of the visit and said, "Son, if you let that one go, you're stupid." And I never let her go. She may have been the stupid one, but I wasn't. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you put off the old man? Or are you fighting God? You fighting the things of the past? Then put it off. Put on the new man, and then take the things that you put off from the old man and put them away. Do you know what that term "put away" means? It literally means to bury. When we buried my mom's body, we put her away. How about we put away the things of our former life? Put on the new man, put off the old man, and put everything away that isn't what God says. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Very simple sermon. Very powerful truth. See, preacher, the Christian life just seems to be so hard. Nope. Put off the old. put on the new, put away everything from the old. It's that simple. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know it. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens, scores of hands, honestly. You may put them down.